Continuing our series on finding happiness, as we've looked at it, that it's something that we think all of us pursue happiness, but a lot of times we're looking for it in the wrong places, and we've kind of found that it's kind of thinking this way, that if we've been convinced that these different things provide happiness and they don't, maybe it's time for us to think that these things that we assumed didn't bring happiness, maybe we need to re-examine them. And so, from God's Word, God doesn't want it to be this search where we can never find it, that we actually find very plainly in His Word, He lays out how to be happy. And so we want to look at that, or continue to look at that. We looked at last week about finding happiness and wisdom. That when God gives wisdom to guide us, to keep us from a lot of harm, from a lot of trouble. And as we learn to heed the wisdom, to cherish the wisdom, to guide our lives by God's wisdom, then we're going to find ourselves in a place of happiness. And so tonight we want to look at another thought, and this comes from verse 12 of Proverbs 14, or not verse 12, verse 21 rather, a little dyslexic there. And it says this, it says, "He that despiseth his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." And so tonight we want to consider the thought of finding happiness in mercy. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray you help us today, Lord, understand your word, understand the principle that you give in it, and just help us to put into practice what you lay out for us. As your son declared when he was on this earth, he said, "If you know these things, happy are you if you do them." And so pray you'd help us to put these into practice so that we could find the happiness for which we seek. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see this passage here, and we kind of want to break it down, kind of dissect and define this verse. We think the word despise we see there. And when you despise someone, it is to scorn them, to really not have a very high opinion of them. To really not place much value on them as a person. And we kind of look at it and we realize, well, wait a minute. Obviously what it says, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, because we think of what the Bible teaches of really, if you were to sum up all of the law, we see this spoken of in Galatians 5 and verse 14, where it says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." And we think of that. That's what Jesus taught. We think of the whole parable of the Good Samaritan, that that's what he gave it for, was to illustrate that truth, that we are to love our neighbor. If we see them hurting, that we're to help them. That if we were in that position, we would want someone to help us, so we need to respond the same way and help someone else. And so we see here that this idea of despising his neighbor sinneth, but then it says, "He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." And so it's kind of the thing is that sometimes, well, many times, we do things that are wrong, but we find ways to justify it in our own mind. And we really kind of think that our neighbor, especially from the context here, if they're someone that's poor, we seem to find it easy to not value them as we should as a person. We see in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 4, it says, "Wealth maketh many friends, but the poor is separated from his neighbor." And I think we understand that a lot of people, if you're rich, it seems everybody wants to be your friend. If you don't have a lot, then it tends to be people don't want that. And we would recognize, well, why is that? It's because human nature, a lot of times, we're in it for what we can, in a relationship for what we can get out of it, right? And so it's not a good motivation, but it's human nature. That sort of kind of idea, okay, I'll be a friend of this person and they're going to share their wealth with me. They don't have any wealth to share. Well, I don't see any profit in this relationship, so I don't value it. And so when I see this person, I'm not going to consider them as I perhaps I should. We see Proverbs 19, verse 7 as well. It says, all the brethren of the poor do hate him. How much more do his friends go far from him? He pursueth them with words, yet they are wanting to him. That someone that always seems to be needy, it's basically, you have many that just say, well, this person is just baggage to me. They have nothing to offer me. And so I'm not going to value them and show kindness to them. And really we see there's something wrong with that, because every person has value as a person, and we should value them whether or not they can give anything to us or not. But that's not important. That God loves us, and we think of how it says of him that even though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. And so we really want to think of the example that he leaves us and what we're to follow. We see James speaks specifically of this, telling the brethren not to have respect of persons. And he says, if there come unto you assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, there come also a poor man in vile raiment, you respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit under my footstool. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? And so he lays out to them that this isn't right, that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourself, as it says in verse 8, but if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. And so that's the thing, is that we're not supposed to treat people differently based on what we can get out of them. And that's really, you see, where so much corruption comes in our world today, is where you have it where somebody has money or power and someone else tries to see, how can I kind of weasel my way in and get some of that money and power for myself? And so we really want to understand that the way of the world is trying to take advantage of other people, get as much as you can, and sadly when they find that they can't get much out of someone else, there's a tendency to just discard that person. And sometimes really we kind of think that's how we get ahead and how we get to a place where we can be at a point of fulfillment. And really we understand that's the opposite of finding happiness and fulfillment. That shows that he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. And so we want to understand mercy. Mercy is showing benevolence to someone, showing kindness. We can think of it this way, right? If someone was guilty of a crime, and there was a certain sentence, and you gave them a lighter sentence, or you let them go free, that would be showing mercy. And so it's the idea of not giving someone what they deserve, is having pity on them, being willing to pardon them. And so you think of it implying to someone that's poor, where you think, you could make a lot of thoughts of just why they're poor and everything else. But instead you say, okay, they're in need of help, regardless of the reasons, willing to help them. And so it's a thought that as we learn to be merciful to others, that's when we're happy. And I want to say it this way too, that because when we despise someone, we can do that in action, but I think we can also do it in word as well, where we could be very critical, where we can look down at people criticize them. And that's not what the Lord wants us to do. The Lord wants us to be merciful in what we do and in what we say. And we can think of this too, that we can think of this in terms of someone materially being poor, but I think we can consider it as well as someone that's spiritually destitute as well. And people that don't know the Lord, that's position they're in. And we would look at ourselves as having faith and being rich in faith in a way, but it's the thing is that we want to have compassion and see these people that are suffering because of their sin, know that we have what they need, and showing mercy to them to share with them the truth. And so we see it says that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he, and we really want to look just quickly as to the promises that God gives when we're merciful. And that's really the thought we want to have. Merciful very literally means being full of mercy. It's God is very merciful to us, and so we want to be merciful to others. And if we're able to be merciful to others, we're going to be happy. And as we look through these different verses, we're going to see why. Proverbs 11 and verse 17, it says, "The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh." And so it's the thing that when we show mercy instead of being cruel, we're helping someone else, but we're actually helping ourselves too. And the opposite is true as well. When we're cruel, we're not only hurting someone else, we're hurting ourselves greatly. And so we want to see that. We want to identify that. We see Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. This is one of the Beatitudes given by our Lord Jesus during his Sermon on the Mount. And he says, "Blessed are the merciful." And why is that? It's for they shall obtain mercy. And we really want to understand that as we treat other people, that we receive of what we give to others. And of course, some people seeing this principle, they refer to it as karma, but really we understand it. It's God giving judgment to us, that trying to teach us that especially when we do wrong, that he often gives us some of our own medicine. So we see, okay, if you don't appreciate being treated this way, then you need to stop treating others that way. That he gives us mercy. He wants us to show mercy to others. And so when we are full of mercy, there's going to be times when we need it, and we shall obtain mercy as well. We see in Psalm 18 and verse 25, it says, "Of God, with the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful, with an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright, with the pure thou wilt show thyself pure, and with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward." That's the thing, that when we're merciful, God shows mercy to us. Proverbs 19 and verse 17 says, "He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again." And that's the thing, is that so often we can be selfish and think, well, what's the use of giving something to someone? But really, we kind of think of it in that way, that the Lord says, okay, if you're giving to the poor, it's like you're lending money to me, and I'm going to pay it back. And so we don't lose anything when we're merciful, when we give of what we have to help someone in need. That a lot of times we find that we have more than what we started with, and we're blessed knowing that we've made a difference in someone's life. Proverbs 11, verse 25. "As a liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself." That's the idea, that when we give, that we get back. And the verse above that, verse 24, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than his meat, but attendeth to poverty. And that's really, it doesn't make sense in a way when we do the math, but we find God's the one that can feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. So he doesn't necessarily care about the math. It's a thought that a lot of times we find that when we give to others, we find we have more than what we started with. That the Lord blesses us when we are willing to share what he's given us with others. And really that's kind of the thought of how he works and how we want to learn how to live our lives. We see in Psalm 112, speaking of the man that fears the Lord and delights greatly in his commandment, it says, a good man, verse 5, showeth favor and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honor. And so we see that someone that is obeying the commands of the Lord, following him, and of course one of the chief commands that God gives is to love our neighbor as ourself, that he's doing that, that he's lending, he's helping, he's given to those that are poor, that the Lord honors that and blesses that. And so we really want to see that as we are merciful and giving to others, that we're going to find real happiness in that. Isaiah chapter 58, that this we see this passage, he's talking about the idea of fasting and a lot of times what was happening with children of Israel, that they were basically kind of do this big act to try to impress God, to try to get their way, he wasn't impressed by it. And so we see in this passage where he kind of lays, this is how I want you to, if you want to impress me, doing all this religious stuff isn't going to do it. He says, if you want to impress me, you need to show kindness to people. He says, verse 6, is this not the fast I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy rearward. Then thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. Here thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth the finger, and speaking vanity, if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that be of thee shall build the old ways places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. And so we read that and we think about it, and it's like, wow, to see that promise that he gives, if we show kindness to people, if we're merciful to them, where God says that he's going to honor us, he's going to guide us, he's going to satisfy us, we're going to be fruitful in our lives, we're going to make a tremendous difference. Even a generational impact. And so we see that just if we're merciful, it opens up to us an amazing possibilities of fruitfulness and happiness in life. And we see as well one more passage to the positive. This is Luke chapter 6. That Jesus is laying out to them, beginning verse 31, he says, as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. It says, for if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. He says, but love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. Your reward shall be great, and ye shall be called the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. And so that's the thing, is that we don't give with any expectation of return. That's not real love if that's what we're doing. That's where we're just kind of basically having a transaction where, okay, I do this to you, you give this back to me, and then everything's good. And instead, love is giving when we don't hope for anything again. And we're being merciful as our Father also is merciful. That he extends his salvation to all mankind, even though there's so many that refuse to receive it. But that doesn't change his love and his mercy that he's shown. And so we really want to understand that, that there's blessings that come to our life if we're merciful. And there's great happiness that comes to our life through mercy. But we want to recognize, too, the warning of what we miss out on if we're not merciful. Just a couple verses. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse number 5. It says, whoso mocketh the poor reproacheth his maker, and he that is glad of calamity shall not be unpunished. That if we despise our neighbor, despise someone that's poor, we make fun of them, God sees that. He's displeased with that. And there will be consequences to us. And as well, Proverbs 21 and verse 13. It says, whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. And that's the thing we want to understand, is that God so often treats us the way that we treat other people. And if we're merciful, he is merciful to us. If we hear the cry of those that are struggling and needing help, and we're willing to help them, then God sees that, it pleases him. It says, okay, when he's in trouble, I'm going to help him. But when we ignore them, when we say, I'm not listening, I'm going to act like they're not even there, then there may come a time when we're in trouble where we say, God, help me. And he says, okay, you didn't help them, you're kind of on your own. And I don't think we'd ever want to be in that position. And so we want to realize, okay, we need to be merciful. And so we want to understand this, that as it lays it out very plainly to us there, that he is that shows mercy to the poor, that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. That if we want to pursue after happiness, we're going to find it if we're merciful. That God is very merciful to us, and so then we need to be merciful to others. All right, so that's a lesson for this evening. So let's pray.